VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today here on VCY America. Friends, we're going to be having a news roundup day here today. Tomorrow we're going to be airing a best of, re-featuring a program we did earlier this year with Gary Ka. And certainly looking forward to joining with a conference taking place in Iowa, a Men for Christ conference in northern Iowa with a number of individuals convening together from Wisconsin, Iowa, Illinois, Minnesota, and looking forward to meeting many of you at such an event. But today, a news roundup broadcast on Crosstalk and keeping you abreast of many, 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 many issues that are going on across this nation and around the world as well. Well, since late last week, I mean, we were told by former President Trump that he was going to be indicted this week. It was going to happen on Tuesday. Well, that didn't happen. Issues going on within that grand jury. And now Fox News reporting that a Manhattan grand jury not hearing testimony again today on this so-called hush money case against Donald Trump. Since the grand jury does not sit on Fridays, a vote on him not expected to happen this week. The Washington Post is reporting that the former president's campaign is not waiting for an official indictment or arrest to deploy an aggressive political response, already criticizing the New York County District Attorney Alvin Bragg and key witness Michael Cohen. As Trump aides plot further attacks, they say, and advisors moving to capitalize on coverage in conservative media outlets, talking about the amount of money being raised at this time. Well, One American News Network says that a brand new shocking document on the alleged Trump indictment has now surfaced. Trump's lawyer, Michael Cohen, had reportedly used his own personal funds to pay the Stormy Daniels a whopping $130. That's according to a 2018 letter by Cohen's lawyer to the Federal Election Commission. In connection with a $130,000 hush money payment to adult film star Stormy Daniels, Cohen accepted a guilty plea to federal tax evasion and campaign finance offenses in 2018. 3-year prison term, and the 2018 letter revealed that neither the former president nor his business organizations were involved in the suspicious transaction. It also stated that Trump's lawyer was not reimbursed for the payment, neither directly nor indirectly. Daily Mail reporting the Manhattan district attorney is supposedly preparing to arrest Trump for allegedly hiding hush money payments. Had received $1 million from a political action committee. Guess who funded by? Yep, billionaire George Soros. Alvin Bragg, elected Manhattan DA in November of 21, has been involved in numerous investigations into Trump and his family before being sworn in last year, even bragging that he had sued Trump more than 100 times while serving in the New York Attorney General's office. While campaigning to become the next Manhattan DA, he received more than $1 million in support from the Color of Change PAC. That's a racial justice group with which receives funding from Soros. And again, that's reported by the Daily Mail. WND.com, former President Trump unveiled his new plan Tuesday to dismantle the deep state by firing rogue bureaucrats and career politicians, according to a new policy agenda video. He released a list of 10 items that he would indicate that he plans to clean out the deep state, starting with an executive order that would give the president the authority to fire bureaucrats. The former president's plan would dismantle the Washington swamp, target corruption, and ensure that federal bureaucrats and politicians are held accountable. Don't have time to go through the 10 points, but released that here just days ago. USA Today reporting that President Joe Biden Monday signed legislation ordering the declassification of information related to the origins of COVID, a mystery that has divided the 8 U.S. government agencies investigating the source. The Republican-sponsored bill, which sailed through the House and Senate without opposition, requires the Director of National Intelligence to release the information within 90 days. The government can, however, withhold intelligence to protect how it was collected. The White House confirmed the president's signature on Monday evening. WND.com says when COVID-19 apparently came out of a Chinese lab that had been experimenting with U.S. support on bat coronaviruses, there was an immediate search for treatments, even as pharmaceutical corporations were developing their billion-dollar experimental shots. Well, one antiparasitic treatment that already was available but mostly used in the veterinary industry was ivermectin. Testimonials arose about how it was effective, even though federal officials, celebrities, and others condemned it. The public ridiculed, it was publicly ridiculed, those who would use a, quote, horse paste, even though that was only one form of ivermectin. Well, later, according to a huge Japanese pharmaceutical company, confirmed ivermectin proved an antiviral effect against Omicron and other coronavirus variants. We understand that Mr. Fauci, though, and others suppressed recommendations that were coming on the use of ivermectin for its use against COVID. Let's go on to the Epoch Times. U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention purchased data from tracking companies to monitor compliance with lockdowns, according to contacts within the firm. The CDC paid one firm $420,000, another $208,000 that bought access to location data from at least 55 million cell phone users. The contracts approved under emergency review because of the COVID-19 pandemic. You see, there's so many things. When you call it an emergency, there's so many things that open the doors for big government to take over and to really spy on citizens, so to speak. Well, the contracts approved because of COVID-19 were aimed at providing the CDC with, quote, the necessary data to continue critical emergency response functions related to evaluating the impact of visits to key points of interest, stay-at-home orders, closures, reopenings, other public health communications related to mask mandates and merging research areas on community transmission of SARS-CoV-2. The CDC said it would be using the tracking data to assess home-by-hour behaviors as curfew analysis by exploring the percentage of mobile devices at home during specific periods of time. Under a heading labeled Potential Use Cases for the data, the CDC said that they could be used to try to connect the forced closures of bars and restaurants with COVID-19 infections and death rates and assess the effect of state restrictions on close contact between people outside their homes. The data could also be used to monitor adherence to mandated or recommended quarantines. This is a very interesting story from WND.com that came out earlier this week. The governor of New York has gone back to court seeking permission to detain citizens of her state in quarantine camps without notice, without rights, and for as long as some state-chosen health officials say it's needed. The fight against arose during COVID-19 when state officials decided that they would adopt a new rule giving the state exactly that power. A lawsuit ensued, and the result was the detention plan was ruled unconstitutional. Well, Governor Kathy Hochul through the Attorney General's office here has now appealed the court's rejection of her isolation and quarantine procedure scheme. Very interesting indeed. The lawyer explained that the rule allowed the Department of Health to pick up and choose which New Yorkers could be picked up, locked down with no proof that you were even exposed to, let alone actually sick with a communicable disease. They could have locked you down in your home, or they could have removed you from your home, forced you to quarantine in a facility of their choosing. No time limits, no appeal, no age limits, no rights at all, the report explained. You could have received a knock at the door from your local police or sheriff telling you that you had to go with them by order of the health department. Furthermore, the regulation had no procedure by which you could be released from quarantine, she said. No way for you to try to negotiate your way out. And now the governor seeking to continue pursuit, legal pursuit of that court authorization to detain citizens. Looking at Slate News, the World Economic Forum is hailing the opportunity presented by the global banking crisis to advance toward its goal of a cashless society. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Klaus Schwab's World Economic Forum believes that the recent collapse of several large banks has created an ideal argument for the end of cash. Remember the clip we aired before about the multi-crises and how we need to respond to this? It's not going back to normal. It is changing society, to really change society itself, not going back to normal. The World Economic Forum has teamed up with key banking elites to present plans for eradicating the traditional monetary system and replacing it with centralized, digitized cash. The idea has been promoted by the WEF for some time as part of the Great Reset. If you listen to Crosstalk, you've heard that mentioned several times. The globalist organization has laid out its plan for the ultimate demise of physical cash in an article on the WEF website, authored by the Deutsche Bank macro strategist Marion Labor. Well, Labor is a WEF member, focuses on the World Economic Forum's plan for the end of cash by ushering in central bank issued digital currencies on a global level. Those are CBDCs. CBDCs are a centralized model favored by globalist governments and economic elites, but they should not be confused with decentralized cryptocurrencies like the Bitcoin. But isn't this interesting how the World Economic Forum, in light of this bank crisis, we need to end cash. We need to pursue a cashless society. Folks, pay attention to what's going on, because as we read Revelation 13, we see that all is to come about. In response to the banking crisis, now I'm looking at an article from LifeSiteNews.com. In response to the banking crisis, top credit rating agency Moody's has lowered the outlook for the entire U.S. banking system to negative. Now the banking crisis is spreading to Europe. Swiss regulators engineered a forced marriage between UBS and the troubled Credit Suisse this past weekend as part of an effort to stabilize the bank in the face of increasing concerns that a major financial crisis is imminent. The collapse and downgrading of these banks have bolstered the position of what has been called the systemically important banks, SIBs, financial institutions whose failure could trigger a financial crisis. Well, the Fed and the Department of Treasury quickly stepped in the last week, issuing these joint statements that a guaranteed bank deposit insurance fund would cover the deposits of an account holders as SVB, that's Silicon Valley Bank, and Signature, beyond the FDIC limits. The Federal Reserve is making additional funds available to banks through a new bank term funding program that lends banks money against their U.S. Treasury securities, mortgage-backed securities, and other collateral, which is now how many banks hold their reserves. Critics say this essentially is quantitative easing, that the government's strategy of printing money in a new form. So, again, they're talking about the central bank digital currencies being rolled out. But folks, it's all falling hand in hand, even with what the World Economic Forum has been promoting. Now, just the news talks about Ohio Republican Representative Warren Davidson Tuesday warned his colleagues against the mounting push for a central bank digital currency, saying it poses a threat to American privacy. And Governor DeSantis is calling on his legislature to pass a bill that would prohibit any federally adopted central bank digital currency from being used in his state. Friends, you're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and today it's a Thursday news roundup covering a number of issues here today. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with more stories coming your way from the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, popular creation speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, is there any evidence for Atlantis?
Chris, Atlantis was the mythical city which was submerged under the ocean. People living in the city adapted and finally evolved the ability to live underwater. Of course, this myth has no basis in fact. Humans could not live underwater, even if they swam in the water for generations. Nor have archaeological remains of such a mythical city ever been found. But there may be some basis in fact. The Bible says that there was a great civilization which was totally overwhelmed by water. This was, of course, the great flood of Noah's day. I wonder if the legend of Atlantis is really a faded memory of the flood. Even more interesting is that almost every culture around the world has the legend of the flood. I think all of this goes back to Genesis for truth.
Thanks, Dr. Morris. For more information, you can find us on the web at www.icr.org.
We've got a news roundup day here today, and again, Lord willing, tomorrow we'll have a best of crosstalk with Gary Kah. I trust you'll enjoy that program and be informed as he addresses this matter of globalism and are we beyond the point of return? Especially in light of some of these stories here today, pushing, Klaus Schwab, in light of what's going on here, World Economic Forum, need to pursue this cashless society, never let a crisis go to waste. Those of you listening in Milwaukee County, Wisconsin, this morning, the County Board of Supervisors voted on a resolution to ban so-called conversion therapy in the county, and that is for paid counselors, more to it. But we reported this previous on Crosstalk. That ban was passed today 14-3. Looking at some additional stories here today from Liberty Council Action. This week, the U.S. House scheduled a vote on H.R. 5, known as the Parents' Bill of Rights. Many new protections for both parents and guardians. Liberty Council Actions and meetings on Capitol Hill educating people about the need for the legislation. One vote taking place today, a final floor vote scheduled for tomorrow. This legislation, H.R. 5, will involve parents in their children's future and best interest. Says Matt Staver, the bill's summary includes that parents would have the right to review curriculum of their child's school, that they would know if the state alters the challenging academic standards, to be able to meet with the teacher of their child at least twice each school year, review the budget, including all revenues and expenditures of their child's school, review a list of the books and other reading materials in the library of the school, receive information about violent activity at their child's school. And also a friendly amendment to the bill expected for schools to stop helping students hide from their parents when a child presents one gender at home, another gender at school. The Parents' Bill of Rights, H.R. 5. You can reach out to your U.S. congressman pertaining to it. Washington Free Beacon is reporting that President Joe Biden's $6.9 trillion budget spends tens of billions of dollars on welfare and social programs for minority groups, both domestically and abroad, including a $400 million State Department program that helps foster inclusive and responsible technology development for the ability of women, the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, and intersex community. There's another initial that will soon become regular in the acronym, and other marginalized groups to safely access digital technologies in Africa. Isn't that interesting? Yeah, that is part of this whole thing here. $400 million to help LGBTQ Africans access the internet. $3 billion to advance gender equity and equality across a broad range of sectors. $50 billion for foreign governments and companies that promote gender equity. $54 million for the development, the Department of Energy's Office for Economic Impact and Diversity. Friends, it is a woke wish list. Fox Business is reporting the Federal Reserve Wednesday raised its benchmark interest rate by a quarter of a point. That puts the key benchmark federal funds rate at a range of 4.75 to 5%, the highest since 2007 from near zero just 1 year ago. It marks the ninth consecutive rate increase. It's said to be the election that the whole nation is focusing on. It's a Supreme Court election for the state of Wisconsin. Washington Free Beacon reporting that the liberal Wisconsin Supreme Court candidate Janet Protasiewicz, in a debate against her conservative opponent on Tuesday, defended her decision to issue light sentences to some rapists and pedophiles while serving as a Milwaukee Circuit Court judge. She said criticism of her sentencing record, including giving no jail time to a sex offender who went on to kill a woman, was unfair, argued that a handful of cases have been cherry-picked and selected and twisted by her competitor, former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Daniel Kelly. Kelly argued that the cases are representative of Protasiewicz's record of weak-on-crime sentencing. The Daily Caller reporting Joe Biden signed a Republican-led measure Monday to block a relaxed Washington, D.C. crime law. The D.C. crime law, called the Council's Revised Criminal Code of 2022, passed by the D.C. Council, would have lowered penalties for a number of violent criminal offenses, including carjackings and robberies. Isn't that just what D.C. needed? To lower penalties for those who are doing carjackings and robbing and involved in violent criminal offenses? Well, Republicans in Congress said no to it and garnered enough bipartisan support, and Joe Biden also signed it into law. Washington Free Beacon, Philadelphia Monday agreed to pay more than $9 million to protesters who attended Black Lives Matter rallies in 2020, just as the city suffers from record homicides and a shortage of police officers. As part of the legal settlement, the city will pay more than 200 protesters a total of $9.25 million for the injuries allegedly caused by police responding to the BLM protest in May and June of 2020. The lawsuits claim that police inflicted mental trauma as well as physical injuries on the protesters. Friends, just a week ago, we had the story about the protesters in New York getting money because of police not always consistently wearing masks and putting them in danger of COVID. And now, because of the mental trauma, $9.25 million for the protesters. Daily Caller is reporting a federal judge ruled against the Biden administration's efforts to dismiss a case involving online censorship Monday, saying that the states of Missouri and Louisiana had plausibly alleged First Amendment violations. This is U.S. District Judge Terry Daugherty of the Western District of Louisiana denied the Biden administration motion to dismiss a suit brought by the May 5th Republican Attorney Generals Eric Schmidt of Missouri and Jeff Landry of Louisiana. They said the Biden administration colluded with social media companies to censor debate on multiple issues, including the 2020 presidential election and the COVID-19 pandemic. And this is the ruling by the federal judge delivered a major setback to the Biden administration in this censorship case. The Blaze reporting over 1 million inactive voters have been removed from the voter rolls in Los Angeles County, California. This has been from a lawsuit going back to 2017. We understand that there's been over 1.2 million that were removed from the rolls, including some 634,000 of inactive voters hadn't voted in at least 10 years. The long overdue voter roll cleanup of 1.2 million registrations in Los Angeles County is a historic victory. It means California elections are less at risk for fraud, said Tom Fitton, the president of Judicial Watch. Just the News is reporting the Arizona Supreme Court ruled Wednesday to send a piece of former GOP gubernatorial candidate Carrie Lake's election lawsuit back to trial court to examine whether or not Maricopa County followed signature verification policies in 2022. The Arizona Supreme Court declined to review the rest of that appeal. LifeNews.com tells us the Biden administration is restarting the HHS mandate wars and what one expects calls an act of political malice in a formal proposal to create a new regulation. The Biden administration is trying to strip away the rights of organizations to refuse to comply with the HHS mandate because they have a moral objection to abortion, contraceptives, or sterilization. If you're feeling a sense of deja vu, it's with good reason. The HHS mandate has been subject to extensive litigation, and faith-based employers have won victory after victory after victory against it. But the Biden administration is now going after non-religious employers who have a moral but not necessarily a religious objection, wanting to form, even if it is a non-religious business, but if you're a Christian businessman who objects to this, he wants to force you to fund the killing of innocent preborn babies. Axios is reporting a U.S. district judge in Wyoming Wednesday temporarily blocked a statewide abortion ban that came into effect over the weekend. We also find in Oklahoma, LifeNews.com reporting the Oklahoma Supreme Court upholding the state's abortion ban that saves babies from abortions. Instead of striking down the measure, the state's highest court clarified that abortion should be allowed in extremely rare cases, that is, to save the life of the mother. The Oklahoma Supreme Court ruled Tuesday to clarify but not overturn the state law after abortion activists challenged it in the courts. The Washington Stand is reporting that the U.S. Supreme Court has vacated a lower court's opinion, which asserted that underage girls possess a constitutional right to have an abortion without notifying their parents. Only one justice, Ketanji Brown Jackson, dissented that her colleagues effectively erased the pro-abortion decision from the books, preventing lawyers from citing it as a binding legal precedent in future cases. That's good news. The Supreme Court vacated the ruling that minors have a constitutional right to abortion, just one justice dissenting from it. CBN News is reporting that pro-life groups in Ohio have funded a $5 million ad campaign exposing a proposed amendment that would enshrine abortion into Ohio's constitution as a right. The television and social media ads by Protect Women Ohio will be airing over the next 4 weeks, while a coalition of abortion rights groups will be circulating petitions trying to get more than 413,000 signatures needed by July 5th to put this issue on the Ohio ballot this November. That's according to the State House News Bureau. From LifeNews.com, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has denied Liberty Counsel's request for a hearing with the entire appeals court in the multi-million-dollar civil lawsuit against Sandra Merritt. Liberty Counsel had previously filed a request for a full court review and presented arguments that the appeals court should reverse the lower court's ruling, order a new trial, and strike the punitive damages award. Merritt and David DeLeiden, founder of Center for Medical Progress, released videos back in 2015 exposing Planned Parenthood's illegal trade in aborted baby body parts. Matt Stever from Liberty Counsel said the Supreme Court is our next destination, to undo the injustice of this case. The High Court will have the final say. Every journalist and person who values free speech and a free press should be concerned with the implications of this case. We will fight for the free speech rights of all people. On another issue, the Daily Signal reporting in fiscal year 2017, when Donald Trump was inaugurated as president, the Border Patrol encountered just two individuals on the terrorist watch list trying to sneak across the southern border between the port of entries. In fiscal year 2018, it encountered six. In the year 2019, encountered none. In fiscal year 20, it encountered three. Well, in fiscal year 2021, the year President Joe Biden was inaugurated, there was a substantial shift in the trend. That year, the number of individuals on the terrorist watch list that the Border Patrol encountered trying to sneak across the border increased fivefold to 15. Then in fiscal year 2022, it climbed to 98. So far in fiscal year 2023, which isn't even half over yet, the Border Patrol has encountered 69 individuals on the terrorist watch list trying to sneak across the southern border between the ports of entry. How many on the watch list, terrorist watch list, have actually succeeded in illegal crossing our southern border in the U.S.? There's no way to know this, but more have been caught illegally crossing the southern border in 1 year of Biden than the entire Trump presidency. Western Journal is reporting that Fox News captured a video of Border Patrol agents along the southern border releasing illegal immigrants into the country, but these were not your average illegal immigrants. They were not from Mexico or Central America. Rather, they came from China. China, perhaps the number one foreign adversary, and the Chinese government is taking an increasingly aggressive stance toward Taiwan and the U.S. With this in mind, people have naturally been wondering if there was not just illegal immigrants, but rather agents and spies sent by the Chinese government. One of those is Senator J.D. Vance, who responded to this development on Twitter by asking, "Will they spy on Americans? Collect intelligence on our military installations? Our own government apparently doesn't care to find out?" Wow, troubling news indeed. Friends, we'll be back in 1 minute. This is Crosstalk.
Cemeteries and mausoleums are evidence of the sad reality of death, and that each of us has a divine appointment with death. According to surveys, Americans overwhelmingly believe that heaven exists and believe that most are going there. A small number believes that hell exists, with only 0.5% believing they will go there when they die. What if those who do not believe in hell die one day and find they made a tragic and eternal mistake? In the book, Hell is for Real, author Gary Fraser discusses the separation, the suffering, and the sorrow of hell, along with future events that will unfold. There is much information given by movies, television, psychics, and even by many religious circles. Gary presents scriptural truth on this important topic. VCY is making available the book, Hell is for Real, as our way of saying thank you for your support of $15 or more. Two copies for a donation of $25. Just ask for it when you call 1-800-729-9829.
We've got a news roundup day here on Crosstalk, and we thank you for tuning in on the VCY America Network. Much taking place in the news in these last several days since we last had a news roundup here today, but seeking to keep you informed on many, many, many different issues. And we're going to just continue on for a bit more, and then we'll open phone lines to give you opportunity to comment on these or other current event stories. Looking at WND.com, the Prime Minister of Israel coming to the defense of Christians in the wake of a proposed law that would send believers to prison merely for sharing Jesus' message in the Jewish state, saying this is Benjamin Netanyahu, who said, "We will not advance any law against the Christian community." As WND reported Monday, legislation had been introduced seeking to toss people in prison for spreading the good news of eternal life offered by the Son of God. The proposal would make it illegal to share Christian messages in conversation, in person, online, as well as in print or by email. Violators would be imprisoned for a year, with the punishment doubled to 2 years if believers are witnessing to someone under the age of 18. Benjamin Netanyahu, in essence, is saying not on his watch. Let's go to FoxNews.com. Chinese President Xi Jinping and Russian President Vladimir Putin signed an agreement to expand their economic ties during a bilateral meeting in Moscow Tuesday. Xi is in Moscow for this multi-day series of meetings with his Russian counterpart aimed at demonstrating the two countries' new friendship without limits. Xi and Putin emphasized the importance of jointly safeguarding their country's energy security. Putin touted plans for a gas pipeline from Siberia to China ahead of the meeting, saying the agreement was all but finalized. Breitbart reporting that the government of Saudi Arabia dramatically increasing purchases of Russian diesel fuel this month, apparently for use at home while selling more expensive Saudi oil abroad, reports indicated this week. Breitbart, a European Parliament vote for bloc-wide digital IDs is the latest step toward the Chinification of Europe, a member of European Parliament has proclaimed. This is a cross-border digital IDs, although bureaucrats in Brussels have insisted that the measure is in the interest of average citizens. The Parliament's vote to see digital IDs adopted appears to be one of the latest attempts by the EU institutions to pull power away from member states' national governments. They're calling it the Chinification of Europe. And folks, it's only going to expand. This whole aspect of digital IDs, and you know what is coming. It, just as we pointed out a bit ago from Revelation 13, there will come a day when one will not be able to buy or sell. You're not going to be able to move about without having the mark of one known as Antichrist, the mark of the beast. That is coming in future days for those that are here during the time of tribulation. CNSNews.com, the White House on Wednesday expressed grave concerns with a bill passed by the Ugandan parliament that criminalizes homosexuality, calling it one of the most extreme anti-LGBTQI laws in the world. The Parliament of Uganda voted overwhelmingly Tuesday to pass the Anti-Homosexuality Bill 2023 that seeks to protect the traditional family by prohibiting homosexual behavior and its promotion or its recognition. According to the bill, if someone is found guilty, they face up to 10 years in prison. LifeSiteNews.com also is pointing, carrying a story on this matter, indicating that the measure, also decried by proponents of the LGBT agenda, would provide strict penalties for homosexual behavior and identification, up to and including the death penalty in certain instances of rape and child molestation. So 10 years in prison, but there are some things that would cause even the death penalty to come about in Uganda. Wednesday, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken argued that the Anti-Homosexuality Act passed by the Ugandan parliament would undermine fundamental human rights of all Ugandans and could reverse gains in the fight against HIV/AIDS. Isn't that interesting? If you reverse this, you're going to reverse the gains in the fight against HIV/AIDS. Uganda has been saying, world, stay out of this. We don't want your indoctrination coming into our country. Interesting story that's been developing. Unknown whether the president's given some indication of his favor for that, president of Uganda, that is. But as of this moment, has not been signed into law as of yet. Washington Times is reporting the Biden administration has no legitimate basis to deploy federal counterterrorism resources against parents who protested against local education officials. That's according to an interim report on Attorney General Merrick Garland's 2021 school board's memo released by the House and Judiciary Committee on Tuesday, citing a trove of recently obtained documents. Lawmakers behind Judiciary's A weaponization subcommittee probe into the controversial memo said the Biden administration misused federal law enforcement and counterterrorism resources for political purposes. Well, you know what's going on with this, all this climate action and the carbon footprints, etc. We have to get rid of beef. There's a war on beef. We've done programs on it, a war on our food supply. LifeSiteNews.com tells us about a school in Utah, a middle school, facing backlash after a teacher awarded extra credit to students for eating grasshoppers as part of an essay assignment, arguing that people should eat bugs in an effort to fight climate change. Kim Cutler is teacher at Spring Canyon Middle School. Assigned sixth grade English students an essay titled Why Americans Should Be Eating Bugs. According to the parameters of the assignment, students were supposed to write an essay arguing that people should eat bugs rather than cows as their primary source of protein, as cows produce methane and damage the ozone layer. Students were not allowed to disagree with the assignment's argument. In addition to the essay, Cutler gave students the opportunity to receive extra credit by eating grasshoppers that the school district, Nebo School District, bought from a commercial website. Washington Examiner telling us that the conservative legal group American First Legal filed a lawsuit Thursday against the Department of Education seeking to force the agency to adjudicate a parental rights complaint filed in 2021. This is against the Cedar Grove School District in New Jersey under the Protection of Pupil Rights Amendment. It's a 74 law that ensures parental access to school materials and the ability to opt out of school surveys. The complaints against Cedar Grove claim that the school district had administered several intrusive surveys to children between the ages of 8 and 10. Think of it, folks, 8 years old. What are we talking about, third grade and 10? That did not provide their parents with adequate notice to opt out. Included questions about the child's sexual activity, gender identity, religious adherence, and family demographics. Okay, well, I know there's much going on here with Russia. Here's an interesting story from LifeSiteNews.com. The Pentagon is suggesting that 7-year-olds are capable of choosing transgender hormones. The doctors claim that children can begin participating in their medical decision-making as early as 7 years old. Department of Defense doctors published a report urging that children and military families who experience gender confusion be subjected to experimental transition procedures and suggesting that kids as young as 7 years old be allowed to make life-altering decisions regarding cross-sex hormones and puberty blockers. The group of military doctors said they were motivated to author the report because some states have begun to limit or ban such procedures for kids. They said this represents a crisis in so-called gender-affirming care for minors. Well, Wyoming became the 19th state to ban men from women's sports, reports Breitbart. Men who identify as women will be barred from competing with women in high school sports in Wyoming under the new legislation. And though the governor there, Mark Gordon, did not sign the bill, he did not veto it either and instead allowed it to pass without his signature. Fox News is reporting a transgender female appeared to finish in first place at a New York City cycling event on Sunday. This would be a biological male who is identifying as a female. A social post from the NYC Cycling showed Tiffany Thomas standing in between two biological females as the first place winner at Randall's Island Criteriums on Sunday. Thomas, a transgender who lives for, rides, that is, for L.A. Sweat. Okay, and let's see. Governor Kemp of Georgia expected to sign a partial ban on trans intervention for kids. That is on his desk, SB 140 there. And also, Arkansas became the fourth state in the country to ban students at public school from using the bathroom or locker room of their choice, reports One American News Network. This is Governor Sarah Huckabee signed a bill that applies to multi-person restrooms and locker rooms in public and charter schools from kindergarten through the 12th grade. And if you wondered why there is so much proliferation of the LGBTQ agenda, well, and the story on Breitbart, they indicate that GLAAD tells us that there are 596 characters on television that fall somewhere in the L, the G, the B, the T, and the Q lifestyle. They report that its research found 141 LGBTQ characters on broadcast, 139 such on cable, 356 on the streaming services, and they indicate that numbers are expected to drop for next year's report as the organization states that 24% of LGBTQ characters on the projects have been canceled or in the midst of a final season. An additional 35 characters will not return due to being featured on a miniseries or anthology. So you wonder about that proliferation. It is there. And let me give out our phone number here today. If you'd like to comment on these or other current event stories, our number today is 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. The Washington Free Beacon is reporting that the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Assistant Secretary Rachel Levine, a biological male who identifies as transgender, said that pediatric sex change procedures have the support at the highest levels of the Biden administration and is optimistic, listen to this, ladies and gentlemen, optimistic that it will soon be normalized. Normalized child sex change procedures. Well, friends, we've covered a lot of different issues, a lot of different stories here today. Our number, 800-733-9829. And by the way, one of the USA Today's Women of the Year is a man who dismissed child sex abuse allegations against a local nonprofit. They've awarded its Women of the Year awards to a biological male who recently testified that the sexual assault of a minor was irrelevant to deciding whether to fund a government-sponsored project. Well, let's go to the phone lines here today. We're going to begin with William in East Troy. William, you're on the air.
Brother Jim, with all of the sex change, transgenderism, and the homosexual agenda, I just had a thought that how many of these people actually believe in evolution? And with the introduction of the mutilization of body parts and adding drugs into their system, how do they know they're not inhibiting the evolution process? Now, of course, I'm not endorsing evolution,
right,
but you would think that logically, even abortion would be an hindrance to evolution because they're killing off maybe a new evolved human species, right? Also, could we maybe stop calling people like Stormy Daniels adult entertainment performers? She's a promoter of pornography and perversion, and she is a person that's corrupting our young men. And, don't endorse what Mr. Trump has done or not done, but boy, these people should not be called adult film stars. So thank you for your program.
Thank you, William. Appreciate the call. Back in just 1 minute, you're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. March 7th, 2023, the Pentagon, working in conjunction with an astronomy department at Harvard University has released a paper. Please understand, this is the Pentagon that has released this paper. And what are they talking about? The fact that a mothership hovering between the Earth and the Sun is likely sending probes to check out Earth, UFOs. They call them unidentified aerial phenomenon. Folks, did you ever think you'd see the day when the Pentagon, working with Harvard, would release such a paper saying these may be extraterrestrials? Well, I believe, as I've said for so many years, the stage is being set for a great global spiritual deception. They're looking for a technocratic savior, a technology savior, and they may be shocked at what manifests. I think it's of demons and demonology.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America and taking your calls right now. We're going right back to the phone lines. Tom is calling from Tomah, Wisconsin. Tom, you're on the air.
Yes, I was calling about the election for the Supreme Court in Wisconsin. And obviously they've got, she has people from all over sending out postcards. I live in Tomah, Wisconsin. I got a postcard signed by her with a postmark from Baltimore, Maryland. It's unbelievable how much they're trying to get Dan Kelly not elected.
Thank you for the call. I believe there's over $20 million that have gone into this campaign. Really, they're calling this the election of the nation right now. So much is at stake with this election in the state of Wisconsin. And by the way, Dan Kelly, Justice Daniel Kelly, is scheduled to be on television with us this coming Monday evening, 7 to 8 p.m. And you can see that either over the air, but for many of you, you can see it at vcy.tv, vcy.tv. That is ad-free, subscription-free, and just lots of great viewing on there from Bible conferences and our TV signal broadcast through that as well from WVCY Television. But you can know classic films are there, children's programs, music, videos, vcy.tv. But 7 p.m. Central Time this Monday night, you can see him on that program. Mark in Monroe, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yeah, I just want to make a comment, and this is a reference. We always kind of refer to the deep state. I think that's way too lenient. I think it should be downgraded to the diabolical, depraved state. Every day there seems to be a no limit to just how much the morality plummets. Again, every day we have all the references to your program. Just how much everything is plummeting in the whole moral state of being, and that's basically how much I just want to make a point of that.
Great. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
We've got Joe next in LaValle. You're on the air.
Mr. Schneider, I have just a brief comment. Now, many conservative Christians are afraid of civil unrest in the cities, despite our biblical instruction to be not afraid. And I believe that might contribute towards the difficulty and the challenge in finding a candidate for the master control room position that you've advertised on VCY today. So I just want to send you a prayer that you do find a capable and willing person to fill that role. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your call. Fred, you're on the air.
Yes, I wanted to make a mention again about nobody's investigating Barack Hussein Obama's presidential paperwork along with Trump, and also even John Brennan, the Muslim CIA director. And I wanted to also thank you for preaching 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, the gospel by which you are saved. Very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Fred. Randy in Grafton, West Virginia, you're on the air.
Yes. I just wanted to make a statement about the recent report about the government and the UFOs mothership. What I believe is these are demonic beings. What they're in contact with are demonic beings, and they do not realize the deception that these beings are spreading, and they're helping to prepare us for the New World Order. They're spreading Eastern mysticism and pantheistic philosophies, occult practices. And apparently nations have been in contact with aliens for some time, including the Israelis, and this has been going on for decades. So we need to be aware of what's going on in the world and go worship and serve God and spread the gospel while we still can.
Yeah.
And thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, certainly a connection to demonic activity. We featured a film some time ago that even addressed that sort of thing called Unidentified, a Rich Cristiano film that we've got available through VCY America and really delves into that aspect. Let's see. Lines continue to stay active. Mequonico, Wisconsin. Dominique, you're on the air.
Hello. Thank you. I was calling about the Wisconsin Supreme Court and just to say that I believe that the abortion issue, though very important, is a smokescreen for a greater issue because changing abortion law is not the role of the court. And so I believe that this is a deliberate smokescreen for the actual deeper issues that will come before the court. Right now, there are all kinds of cases that are coming up through on those who have been injured by the vaccine or killed in the hospital protocols. And I believe that we have a lot of friends in independent and democratic circles that are for medical freedom, and they would be absolutely on board with a court that actually upholds the Constitution and protects our rights. And I think we're getting distracted with this. And so I just encourage everybody who has liberal friends who are for medical freedom to reach out and just, you know, try to dissipate some of this paranoia about abortion and not being able to save the life of the mother. One woman per state per year dies from ectopic pregnancies. One woman per state per year. You know, these things, these really has to just dissipate there and refocus again on what's really important and that we actually maintain the judicial rule of law and not a rule of a political agenda. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you, Dominique. Separation of power is a big, big issue as it relates to this campaign and the matter of does one have the authority to legislate from the bench and understanding a separation of powers so critical to this area. Let's see. Centerton, Arkansas. Alice, you're on the air.
Oh, thank you so much for taking my call. My heart aches because of the way children are being offended. They're not being taught, as the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. If they could only realize God made them so special. There's a reason they're male. There's a reason they're female. And no government agency should do anything to thwart that beautiful concept of truth for children. And, of course, this awful abortion. God hates the shedding of innocent blood. Do we wonder that we might have a war with China and Russia as the cup of iniquity in America seems to be filling up faster and faster? Repent, America. I really believe we're going to be destroyed.
Thank you, Alice, for your call here today. That message of repentance so critical for such a time as this. And friends, with that, our closing music has already started underneath us. We are sorry to other callers on hold right now, but we've run out of time on the broadcast here today. Tomorrow, we are planning to air a best of with Gary Ka, looking at this whole point of globalism and are we at a point of no return? Mark your calendar, too. Next week, Thursday, Dalton right now is preparing the Erwin Lutzer Rally, a powerful message, we will not bow. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.